Thank you. Well, I'm pleased that the team has asked me to talk to you about outreach education. Dr. Miller, I know Grady would have been really much enjoyed talking with you this afternoon, but he's putting on a big conference back in his state that's occupying him right now, so that lands on me as the privilege to be your extension representative from the Warm Season Grass Breeding Development Team. Dr. Chandra gave an excellent overview. She was our principal lead on this project, a five-year project. I'm going to try to build upon what my team colleagues have already presented to you, and thus I'm going to leave out some of the background information that they've already discussed with you. I will point out, though, the extension specialists that were on this 18-person team can be found here, but I do want to say it was a very holistic effort, and even though there's a lot of people, research people on this team and breeders, they all played a very important role in extension outreach as well. So everybody had a hand in executing extension outreach when it came down to the things that we achieved in this project. The project, a very small component of it financially, but a very high impact portion of it was the extension outreach portion. Our objectives were to teach people about best management practices and decision making concerning irrigation decisions, choosing grasses that were more water use efficient and more drought resistant. If you want to talk it in just one sentence, that's a good way to sum it up. Each one of the five universities that was involved, I would say, already had a significant effort going on concerning education and water use efficiency and proper selection of adapted species, especially for drought resistance. And the program built upon that and utilized the existing infrastructure, as well as utilized the infrastructure that was built from the research standpoint portion of this grant. One of the challenges that the extension specialists faced early on in that very first year of the grant was that we didn't have trials in place with the breeders promising materials to look at. So we would tell folks about what was being planned, what they could expect to see next year and the year after that concerning this very important project. Concerning actual numbers, I just briefly want to go over those. We had over 60 outreach education events performed by various people on the team. These were conducted individually within the states. And there was over 1,200 participants in those events. That's a very conservative number. As I keep looking back at things, I'm thinking probably 2,000 is probably a more realistic number, but we don't want to overstate the number that were involved. There was a number of extension publications, about a dozen of them, I believe, that were developed during this time period, things from irrigation auditing to cultivar selection. And one of the things that I think we'll see an even larger impact from in the future is the thousands of images and dozens of videos that were created during this time period. We'll continue to develop materials. I would say in the future a lot more materials will come from the project than actually those things that were generated during the short 5 years. Because of the very diverse test climates and unique individual weather patterns of the individual years, there became a wonderful opportunity to show and explain turfgrass cultivar genotype and environment interaction. So we were as far north as Oklahoma and Raleigh, and as far south down on the Gulf Coastal Plain as your areas here in Florida, also College Station. So it's quite diverse climates and hardiness zones, zone 6B to 7A transition on south from that. Even Dr. Chandra, even though she has no extension responsibility, was involved in outreach education. This was from the Texas AgriLife Field Day in 2014, talking to the participants there about the achievements of the project and what could be expected in the future. If you attended any of the various field days, you might have seen, caught things if you were fortunate enough during drought. This happens to show one of the St. Augustine Grass Shared Space Plant Nurseries, where there had been over 163 varieties in there. And you can see them in various stages of response to drought. You see quite a bit of leaf firing in the foreground, and there's some good ones towards the center that show some delayed leaf firing. So we termed that drought resistance, and there was a question about the mechanisms involved, whether we were talking about tolerance, those types of things. To this point in time, it's easiest to call it drought resistance, isn't it, until we can further characterize the individual mechanisms involved with these things. A shot of the Bermuda grass trial under natural drought in Stillwater in August of 2013. If you visited it at that time, here's what you'd have seen. We were actually blessed because Texas and Oklahoma was in a 4.5-year drought that corresponded very well with a 5-year long project. How lucky can you get as a development team trying to improve drought resistance and salinity tolerance and be able to get by luck of the draw something like that in the way of long-term drought? Now, interestingly enough, the team experienced, Dr. Chandra told you about two times the team put in proposals early and it was rejected, but the year before actually the team was funded, we told them a lot of things we were going to do, but the reviewers told us that was too much, that we needed to focus. So you just don't tell them about all the wonderful things you're going to give them, such as winter tolerance, because you're going to get thrown winters like this. You can't predict when it's going to happen, but if you've conducted cultivar trials in the field before as an extension specialist and field researcher, you know these things are going to happen. By luck of the draw, you're going to get them. So you're going to get the opportunity to show people trials where you've got things with early green up, such as the soja grass here, and you've got some things that winter kill. Here, of course, we'd be waiting a few more weeks to find out if this thing greened up, but this is one that happened to winter kill here, and this one was quite impressive from the standpoint of the green up that we had at that point in time. You may hear about climate change, and as an extension specialist, we got questions about, can we be moving those St. Augustines farther north? Well, some years you might get away with it, but of course there's always that year that limits things, and so here's a picture of the St. Augustine trial that was planted in 2013 and the winter kill that we see coming out of the winter of 13 into spring of 14. This area is principally Bermuda way here in the background. Here's your St. Augustine grasses. So the trials did furnish wonderful opportunity for the St. Augustine grass breeders to get some heavy selection pressure there, but also for us extension specialists to teach people that the climate hasn't changed quite so much that we can move St. Augustine all the way up to Stillwater at this point in time. What I would like to do next in this extension outreach presentation is give a quick overview of a industry consumer preference survey that Dr. Grady Miller and Susanna Miller Lewis conducted from North Carolina State University with input from the whole of the team. And we'll just take the 30,000 foot view of this and give you a numeric summarization of it rather than statistical summarization. There were 13 questions to this. I'll present the answers to about 9 of those questions. After you ask questions, many times you kind of throw them out later because they're not as meaningful as they seem to have been at the time when you posed them, or you got answers that you weren't expecting and hadn't anticipated. Some of you in the audience may have actually participated in this survey. Do any of you recall back in late November, December, being asked to participate with this? Well, what the extension specialists did was we used our listservs for various states, the southern states. Also, we asked sod producers associations and turf foundations, state turf research foundations, to also hit their listserv with the survey. And so while the initial intent might have been to stick with these states here, we actually got some input from outside of these states. But this was a web-based survey using the Google platform. And I won't review the whole survey with you or show you every survey question, but let's go ahead and take a look at the results that the team obtained. Well, responses total were 1,404 responses. The bulk of those were from Texas, 704 responses, 485 from Florida, followed by North Carolina, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Georgia. So 5 of the 6 states that comprised the majority of respondents were actually the state teams involved, but Doug Karcher from University of Arkansas allowed us to use his listserv as well, so Doug posed the question and we got a good response from the Arkansas people. Regarding the professional or consumer positions that folks were involved with, you see here, and Grady did convert the master gardener question to represent the homeowner, so Here's the homeowner portion of this. It's well over half of the respondents to the survey, followed by the landscape professionals, golf course superintendents, sports turf managers, extension specialists, and sod farm managers. Several of these next graphs will be charts, and here you can see the number of respondents on the x-axis, and the y-axis contains the question that was posed. These were preformed questions where, in this case, the respondent was asked what the major problem was that they routinely experienced when they had their turf grass in place. So we preformed things like a drought, water restriction. You can see by far it was the largest category of respondents, followed by disease and insect pests, weeds. We kind of grouped those together collectively. Shade was also important, as well as traffic. This next question asked the respondent what was their first most important, second most important, and third most important problem that they would like to see addressed in traits for turf grasses in the future. By far, it was drought tolerance, the first most important, but also we see that aesthetics is still remaining important regarding some of the folks when you ask them what's the most important trait. When it came to the second most important trait for them, lower input. And of course, we can dream up that surely must mean reduced mowing, fertilization, all of the maintenance practices that one would be engaged in. And then as you got to the third most important trait, we see there's much fewer differences, and it's actually very, very similar between lower input, drought tolerance, disease tolerance, and also still in aesthetics being important. When we asked respondents about where most of their money was spent for maintenance, by far they felt that it was in fertilizer applications, followed closely by weed control, insect, and disease control. And if they were to pay 5% more for traits, what traits, when we asked them and gave them a list to pick from, what traits would be important to them? Well, they did pick drought and lower input as important traits, followed closely by drought and shade, and then shade and pest tolerance. Actually, we took the benefit of some of Tracy's input from her surveys when we formulated this, and from our stakeholder feedback when we actually formulated the questions here. When asked what traits the scientists should be working on in the future, by far the number one trait requested was for drought tolerance, followed distantly by shade tolerance and lower input. How do they prefer to receive information? Well, there's quite a bit of bias there since we located them by email and then routed them to a web survey, so I don't think there's anything shocking there that they have greatest appreciation for email alerts. What's next in the future? Because Dr. Chandra indicated that the team had obtained another project. This is a 4-year-long project. The previous one was 5 years long. The title there, Persistent Survival and Recovery of Warm Season Turf Grasses for Sustainable Urban Landscapes Under Limited Irrigation Long-Term Drought. There is an objective number 6 there, which involves produce extension outreach programs to promote newly developed cultivars and inform end users of environmental and economic impacts. There, the team's planning on educating end users concerning the specific performance traits, drought resistance, salinity, herbicide tolerance of products already developed in the prior project. Also to develop some specific demonstration landscapes, especially Florida, using the Florida-friendly landscape demonstrations, where there's going to be one of the cultivars, Tamstar, St. Augustine grass, and also Tip Tough, Bermuda grass demonstrated. There'll be other demonstration sites as well. And then finally, development of videos and other social media type materials to educate folks on proper best management practices concerning drought. We'd like to thank a number of industry partners, but also especially United States Department of Agriculture, NIFA, for funding the Specialty Crops Research Initiative that we were privileged to have over the last 5 years. Thank you.